David McRedmond, Chief Executive of TV3, thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Now, your main rivals, RTE, have been on the ropes lately, it's fair to say. But at TV3, you have a much smaller, much tighter operation and you're going from strength to strength. Can you give us a picture of where you're at right now?
Well, going from strength to strength, we've been through a horrendous crash and we've actually had to go through a very heavy restructuring within TV3. We've had voluntary redundancies, we've had compulsory redundancies, we've had pay cuts throughout the station. We've had all of those elements to make sure that we could survive and we could grow again. Having said that, television is the first thing that suffers in a recession with media. And the reason is because big advertisers, when they're entering into recession, they cut television advertising. It's a big spend. They say, let's cut it. Television crashes. It's very tough. But then the corollary is television is the first to recover. And the reason why television is the first to recover is because it is an absolute must-have for advertisers. You cannot launch brands and you cannot reach mass market audiences without going through television. So really over the past 2 years, we've seen a gradual recovery. Our revenues have grown, low single digits, you know, 5% and then 3%, and this year we'd expect somewhere between 3% to 5% growth. So we've grown revenues for the past 3 years. Our profitability, which crashed, is beginning to come back. It's more or less doubled each of the past 2 years, and we should see a healthy increase again this year. But that is still in a recovery phase. We're still some distance from getting back to the sort of revenues we would have had and sort of profits, but we are coming back. The really important thing for TV3 as a group, and we are a group now, is we maintained a strategy through that period. And we said we have to grow in a way that's sustainable. We acquired Channel 6, rebranded it 3E, and today that is the number one digital station in the country, ahead of E4, Sky One, and the 200 plus other digital channels there are. With TV3, our real focus has been on Irish content. You know, when I came into TV3, I took a look at what RTE's schedules were doing, hired a programme director, Ben Frau. We sat down and looked at this, and indeed with the team in TV3. And we saw all of RTE's ratings, their major ratings, were coming from home production. We said, if we're going to compete, we have to find a way to home produce. And I think it's a credit to my colleagues in TV3. I know nothing about production, but they've managed to increase home production up to 40% of our output. The result of that is that today, TV3 as a channel has more viewers than BBC One, BBC Two and UTV combined in the Republic of Ireland. For somebody my age, that's an astonishing picture, having grown up in Dublin and seeing, oh, well, there's RTE and BBC and UTV, where we're bigger than all of those main UK channels combined. So that's really been the strategy that we've had. Right now, where we are is we're just about to open the first purpose-built high-definition studio in Ireland, a very large studio out in Ballymount. And that means, because we can't take our home production above 40% at the moment, our studio is literally being used every minute of the day. Well, we've built this big new studio so we can massively increase our production. That also means, though, we're a producer of content, which we've also begun to export. Almost in spite of ourselves, we sold 32 programmes to 30 countries last year. So that's becoming a big feature for us. So those are all the developments that we're doing. But when you say we're flying, it's bloody tough. It's not been easy. And we still have massive issues, particularly in the public policy front.
Now, I know that you are a challenge to RTE in terms of, for instance, breakfast television, which they have never actually stepped up to the bar on. And I know that you have homegrown content throughout the day, from midday, Expose, Vincent Brown and so on. But one of the criticisms, David, is that your output is often quite cheap and nasty. Of the tabloid variety, Senator David Norris asked us to look into our souls and ask if we are the kind of society that watches California, for instance. And your own presenter, Vincent Brown, has questioned the emphasis on crime in your output. What do you say to that?
You kind of expect those comments. You're in television. To some degree, you want those comments. You know, we are a challenger station. We should be doing brave things. And when you do brave things and different things, you will be upsetting people. So I don't make any apology for upsetting people. I think we do programming very differently. I completely reject the notion of cheap and nasty. I don't think there's nasty television, actually. Cheap, if you're talking about the price of production, yes, we're low cost. But low cost is actually where the future of television is, just as low cost is the future of radio. We know what happens when television and radio are high cost and you can't afford it. So we happen to have found the methodologies that work to produce more content. California, I actually happen to think, is a really great programme. It's a programme that TV3 has done best this year. Ireland is a very relatively narrow country still. It's an homogenous society. There is a bit of having to behave a certain way. I, for example, didn't particularly like Fade Street. I'm not saying it was a badly made programme. It was probably very well made or something, but I didn't think it was all that real. California is actually pretty real. David Norris may not like this, but it actually is how people behave. Of course, there's a contrived element and there's people in the house together and all of that. But television itself has to be a bit of a contrivance. But I would think California reflects what's going on in Irish life an awful lot better than an awful lot of what goes on in the Senate in terms of reflecting Irish life. That's probably a bit unfair in the Senate, but I think it adds something. In relation to Vincent Brown's comments on crime, I understand it. I think his complaint about crime is that there's all this crime television without actually saying that the crime numbers are falling. And I think I saw a report in the paper this week, the crime has fallen again. And sorry, I should say, it led on our news, I believe, the crime has fallen. So sometimes it can be easy to ignore it when we say it. Crime programming happens to be a genre that's very popular. And the great thing about TV3 is all we worry about is our viewers. If I was to worry about the critics, we would end up producing a narrower form of television, a more mannered form of television, giving people no choice. And actually, I think reviewing is something which is a fairly narrow field. I read reviews and I tend to know what they're going to say about our programmes. That's not our concern. Our concern is our viewers. And we really, really, really care about our viewers. And caring about our viewers isn't just about the programme type. Is it a crime programme or something? It's something else about television, which I think I didn't understand before I went to television. I think probably isn't well understood. Television is not film. Television is not about making, oh, here's a beautiful bit of film that you can then take a look at, can take out of the case, and then you can write a nice article called a television review and say, I really like this bit of film. And that's not what television is. It's not how television works. Television is about a mom, and it's more female than male viewers. It's a mom cooking tea for her children at 6 in the evening and wanting to have the television on in the corner of the kitchen, which is why we have Exposé. I don't expect people to watch Exposé to sit down and watch it start to end. Some do, and that's great. But it's really there in the corner. And then they go, oh, look, it's Brad Pitt. I really, and turn it up and say, I want to hear about that. Or, oh, here's a new fashion item. That's what television is. Television is about what you show at 6 o'clock to help the mom and some dads, hope, but mainly the moms cooking the tea at home. It's to provide them with something. Television, you know, another example is Vincent Brown. The amount of times I get asked, and I think Vincent always gets asked, is Vincent would be great if it was on earlier. But ultimately, it wouldn't be the same programme. I happen to think there's a certain looseness, a certain looseness almost about Vincent, where people feel it's got that lovely late night feel. You can actually say what you want, almost as if it's in a secret amongst themselves. It's late night television. It's television at 11 o'clock at night. It's television just before you go to bed. It's a treat for people to kind of go, oh, I think I'll just stay up and watch this bit. Or for people to come in after they've been out for the evening and go, do you know what, I think I'll just catch 10 minutes of Vincent. That again is what television is. So any of the criticisms, I think it's difficult to apply them to a particular programme and say that programme's good or that programme's bad. I'd be more interested. Somebody says that scheduling doesn't work. Or what is that doing for a certain viewer? Crime, I'm afraid people have a fascination in it. Not afraid. I mean, I'm interested in it. We did a quite brilliant documentary. Nobody reviewed it, on Sophie Toscan de Plantier. Brilliantly researched, very moving documentary, quite a brave documentary. That was fascinating. Does that mean because we show that we're saying that there's a whole load of murders in Ireland? Does it mean that we're creating a sense of fear? I don't believe so. Of course, we've a whole load of other crime programmes, Gangland Ireland, all of those. And maybe Vincent has a point. In fact, he usually does have a point. But I think we also have a point in the station in terms of people are interested in that subject matter.
But when you defend something like California, for instance, by saying, well, people like it, is that not the kind of lowest common denominator argument?
I don't think I did defend it, Brenda, by saying people like it. I think I defended it by saying it was different. it was something different. It was a different look at life. I believed it was a more realistic look at life than other versions of that type of TV. I think it actually happens to be quite a good version of it. It gives people a choice. Should Irish people have to switch to the UK channels to watch The Only Way Is Essex? Why not get an Irish version? And you know what? Maybe it doesn't fit people's ideal view of what life is like in Ireland. But I'm not there to reflect an ideal view. I actually think it's fantastic for TV3 to present a whole load of different views of Ireland. I absolutely accept that some people don't like, and I can accept people get upset by it. But it's not the most upsetting thing I've seen in television.
Now, do you think it can compete with RTE in terms of news coverage, current affairs coverage? They have the resources, don't they? And they have the firepower to be able to produce much more compelling current affairs and relevant current affairs.
There's no doubt we can't compete with their resources. We can't compete with their news gathering operation. And news gathering is a really expensive part of it. We don't have that depth. We don't have that breadth, nor do we pretend to. I think what we tried to do, therefore, is to complement it. TV3's news at 5:30, I actually happen to think is the most underrated news in Ireland. But when I see the team that makes that, the professionalism of that team, when I see that the pedigree of that team, which is ITV, Sky, BBC, RTE, internationally trained journalists, a very highly skilled editorial team, every bit as good as any editorial team in RTE, producing a programme done very much in a way for our viewers, which is to make sure they get a comprehensive view of the news without going into too much depth in any one item. That's the format that we have, highly formatted news. I actually think it's quite superb. And I think we've often got stories that RTE doesn't have. We often have a higher story count. We often do the stories better than RTE. But no, we don't have I'd say Primetime Investigates, I don't say that with any irony, but we can't do investigative journalism like RTE. We can do the odd programme maybe once a year, twice a year. We can't do a prime time, you know, twice a week. We might be able to do something like Frontline when we've got our new studio and we can get an audience in, and we'll certainly look at doing that. But no, we are restricted. We'd love to do more. The great thing about Ireland is news and current affairs rates. The funny thing about a lot of other countries is news and current affairs doesn't rate. We have an obsession with news. So we would love to do more. And if we can win all the battles we're having to sort out the funding of television in Ireland so that TV3 can get the funds it deserves, which it doesn't get. And by that, I don't mean license fee. I mean just simply get advertising sold at a price that is warranted by what we do and compares with anywhere else in Europe. If we could do that, we could produce something probably as good as RTE and probably as deep as RTE. So if we win that battle, we'll get there. But at the moment, no.
Well, tell me about that battle, because I know you won a competition authority decision. Tell me how that works, the imbalance you see it in the advertising market.
The issue is that RTE is dual funded. RTE gets all the licence fee, or nearly all the licence fee, but they also get the lion's share of advertising in the market. Now, that was fine when there was no competition in the market, when RTE was the only broadcaster. Then other broadcasters come along, and TV3, we only make money from advertising. I have to say it because most people don't know it. We don't get the licence fee. We don't get state money. We only get money from advertising. And that's all we want, because it makes us different. It means there can be no sense of any influence from government. The problem we have is that RTE, because it's dual funded and because of other practices, it sells its advertising very, very cheaply. And we say it sells at below cost. In fact, it definitely sells at below cost, because RTE Television has run up a deficit for about the last 4 years and is going to continue running up a deficit for the next 2 years. That's a fundamental problem around how it sells advertising. RTE saw the share it has of the advertising market as being the most important thing. That's fundamentally anti-competitive for an organisation that is dominant. They're not allowed to do that. The Competition Authority took 2 years investigating it, and they said, yes, RTE is dominant. And they said, yes, on all six counts of how you can abuse that dominance in how it sells advertising, it seemed to be doing that. RTE has to respond and fix that. Now, we've seen the initial RTE response. It's wholly inadequate. And actually, I think RTE is missing a fantastic opportunity. And maybe it's not RT, maybe it's up to the Department of Communications and government to say, actually, hold on a second, let's use this to fundamentally address the funding issues in broadcasting. The problem with how RTE sells advertising is advertising in this country is sold at 35% cheaper than our European peers, than Western European countries. And television advertisers tend to be multinationals. So multinationals are buying viewers in France and Spain and Germany and these countries at 35% higher price than they're paying in Ireland. Now, that kills us. If we had 35% more revenue, we would be doing all the things you want us to do. We would be doing drama. We would be doing current affairs. We would be doing more. And we'd be employing more people, probably twice as many people. And we would be giving more work to independents. And it would be at no cost to RTE and no cost to the state. That's why I'm so passionate about getting it sorted. The quid pro quo is, and how do you do it? You have to get RTE out of dominance in advertising. This has happened in almost every EU country. Advertising has been taken off state-owned channels. Either, you know, no advertising in peak time, or in some places no advertising at all. And if you look in Spain, in France, in Germany, it's happening in all those countries. As you know, in the UK, of course, BBC doesn't have advertising. A lot of Scandinavian countries don't. So by and large, RTE's model is outdated and outmoded. The unfortunate point for RTE is, I think, now RTE is facing a phenomenally difficult financial crisis because it doesn't know where it's going to get its money from. And this has been compounded by, at the same time as they've been, in my view, and I'll use a pejorative term, screwing up the ad market, at the same time, the government or the ministers or Department of Communications in the past, I'm not saying now, but they have been meddling, in my view, with the licence fee. What they've done is, for example, they put 7% of it into the Sound and Vision Fund so that that could fund certain things. We access it. It's reasonable for anybody to access a fund that's set up. But actually, that shouldn't happen. What should happen is all the licence fees should go to RTE, because there's a real distinction between a broadcaster that's a public service broadcaster that can rely on knowing what its funding is for the next 5 years, and a state broadcaster where its funds are decided day by day or month by month or year by year by governments, in which case there's always a question mark over, is the broadcaster dependent on government? And that's a real problem. So there's fundamental issues there to be sorted, and they can be sorted.
So would you run RTE2 then as a purely commercial enterprise?
My view is that if RTE2 was only funded by advertising, then it would have to sell its advertising above the cost of its programming or it would go bust. Now, that would be unfeasible at the moment because its costs are so high, but it would have to find a way it could do it. If RTE1 was only licence fee funded but got all the licence fee, then, of course, you get to a station that can really do public service broadcasting and not worry about ratings. Now, there's always an element where any broadcaster or any journalist is going to be interested in an audience. You know, it's not just a commercial thing. But at least you'd be at the point where that's a reasonable demand and not one that is too heavily fueled by commercial considerations. Another possibility is maybe, you know, take advertising off around news and current affairs. Do something, but whatever you do, make sure that RTE does not set the prices in the market. If RTE had below 25% of the advertising market, they wouldn't have the market power to set prices. And then you would start to see a commercial market operate properly. At the same time, RTE, I believe, has the right to know what its funding is for the next 5 years. And I would certainly support all the licence fee goes to RTE. I'd support it being on a consumer price index so that it's inflation adjusted and so that RTE really has a solid future in that way.
But your model is predicated on the assumption that advertisers will stay, once the price goes up, with television advertising, whereas that's not the trend. It's towards online.
Online advertising does something completely differently to television advertising, and the two actually complement each other very well. Television is about brands and mass markets. You don't do that online. You cannot currently build brands online. You just don't get the coverage. You don't get enough people seeing something in a short enough period. I would be less worried about that. Online is extremely important. Our online strategy and our three player is right at the heart of what we do, and it's very valuable advertising as well. But it's a completely different type of advertising. It's a different way of reaching an audience. But you are absolutely right when you say, well, look, would advertisers pay if price went up 35% today? No, I don't think they would. And I wouldn't expect them to have to. But you get to a point where the market will find its own level. The quid pro quo for advertisers is they get to get Irish programming that uniquely attracts Irish audiences in a certain way, and that's what they want. Otherwise, they just leave all the advertising on UK channels. And we did the first product placement in this country. We did a big seminar on it. We've done an awful lot of work, but it's a really tiny part of our revenues, but it will become more popular. There's always going to be innovation in advertising. But you ask Procter & Gamble and Unilever and GlaxoSmithKline and Nestle, and these are the big advertising television. They certainly don't see the spot ad, the ad and the ad break as something that's going to go.
But now that everybody's got a digital recorder and can fast forward through the ads, is that a concern for advertisers? It may not be for you, but
it is a bit of a, it's actually tracked by Nielsen data. The data that does ratings looks at what's called viewing on same day as live. So it looks at the viewing on video recorders on Sky Plus boxes and UPC boxes, whatever they are. And what it does with those is it captures the viewing to television ads. And so they know exactly how much has been watched. And that is added into our ratings. And if it's not watched, if it's just recorded and not watched, that doesn't count. And if it's skipped through, it doesn't count. The evidence is, first of all, a vast amount more programming is recorded than is actually watched. And secondly, when it is watched, you'd be surprised about how many people do watch the ads.
The crisis in RTE, the recent, the Tweetgate and then the Father Reynolds case, what did you make of those?
You always kind of go for the grace of God, although I don't think it's true. I think we actually have very good controls in TV3. We have editorial committees that have to review things and we're careful about it. But of course, we can all learn from these things. Mistakes happen. Some mistakes are forgivable and some are unforgivable. Now, you know, in relation to RTE, and if I take something like the Father Reynolds case, you know, they made a very grave error. They paid allegedly somewhere around $1 million. I don't know if that's true in terms of compensation to Father Reynolds, and that's correct and proper, and they should have to do so, and it should hurt. And they had to make groveling apologies, and that's correct. I'm not sure that that shouldn't have been the end of it. I'm not sure if that shouldn't have been the end of it for Father Reynolds. One of the things that's very, very difficult when you face a crisis is the difference between real outrage, and it's quite right there was very real outrage about it, and mock outrage, which is people want to give RT a bit of a kicking. And it's an impossible position to be in to defend against that. I happen to believe that enough is enough. And you say, right, OK, you learn your lesson. And I don't believe there is a single journalist or person in RT who doesn't want to say, let's take a look at this and let's learn our own lessons from it. And yes, it was correct, the libel payment. Of course it was. It was correct to have to make a very groveling apology and probably correct to have some sort of investigation. But that's it. And in my mind, it's going too far now. I mean, if people have to realise you've a public service broadcaster, they are going to make mistakes. Nobody should excuse that mistake, but I think that's been dealt with. You have to move on and have to learn, but I think there's a point at which you say enough is enough in terms of bashing RTE around that. Do we want a public service broadcaster that isn't going to go out and do the stories? Of course not. And therefore, stop just hitting everything RTE does. I've got my own gripes and reasons, but I happen to think that RTE most of the time does a pretty reasonable job.